Next question.
Hi, my name is Penny Oyama. I'm a registered nurse at Vancouver General Hospital, or whatever we're supposed to be calling it these days. I'm also a member of BCNU. And I think we're getting more and more militant about privatization issues, et cetera. I'm sort of a newcomer on this scene. It's pretty dynamic. I'm also a mom, and I would love to ask you, Jamil, how long do lawyers last in the ACLU? That's not it's my mom. It hurts your brain.
I lasted 2 years. I don't know how much longer.
I'm going to try and combine the other two questions that I have. I've been reading a bit of Chomsky, to be honest. Connection between Privacy Act issues and trade agreements. And the premise that uneducated people don't ask questions, the government's efforts to keep education levels low so that people won't ask questions, therefore permitting the government to carry out such awesomely disgusting passage of acts, et cetera, et cetera. Can you comment on these sorts of issues without hurting yourself?
Please. I don't know if I can directly address that, but this gives me an opportunity to say something I should have said earlier. Which is that to the extent that there is resistance to the Patriot Act in the United States, it's strange, I guess, that the resistance has been led by nurses and librarians. I don't know. I never imagined that these were radical groups before, but I think that now you can get in more trouble at joining the Library Association than you can joining the ACLU. So that's something.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, my name is William Lim. Now, I'm not a student of law. I'm not a lawyer. But I'm a student of history.
Can't hear you.
Yeah, my name is William Lim, and I'm just a private citizen. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a student of law. But I'm a student of history, in particular, and political science, in particular, English history. And it seems to me that the early questioners say that our educational system is to make people not ask questions, to be ignorant. I think that it's very true in the case of history, understanding history. Most of the people have very little knowledge about history, and that's been improving, the test has been running. I'm particularly when I ask that is that in the system of parliamentary democracies that we here in Canada practice is the result of the English common law system. The English common law parliamentary democracy system is the result of the English Civil War of 1641, in which the people rose up against the king of the day, King Charles I. And the reason the people and the parliamentarians at that time, Oliver Cromwell rose at the time, was because...
I come to the point.
The point is that Charles I, in his action, it was so contrary to the interest of the people of England at the time, so forced the people, the English people, to rise up against him and indict him, and the charge was high treason against the people. Now, arguably, as I said, I'm not a student of law, I'm a lawyer. Arguably, the action of the provincial government in this respect of surrendering the personal information of the people to surveillance of a foreign country is an act of against the interest of people. I'm raising the question is that in the tradition of English common law system, there's such things as other than taking arms, you know, against the king, against the government, is the citizen's arrest. Citizen's arrest. And I raised it because, to my horror, I was talking to a number of people. They didn't even know about this. That is a sad commentary about how much history that our people is aware of.
So I'm going to cut you off there, William. Is your question whether we should enact a citizen's arrest?
Yes, yes. Also, is perhaps this is the second step. The first step, I still want to pose to the specialist in
yes.
law here, is that whether that we could, other than the BCGU case before the court, we could take it to the federal court and lay charge against the government for surrendering the people's sovereignty to a foreign government.
Okay. Are there any constitutional lawyers in the room? Good. Could you respond to that question then, please?
Well, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but I think this gentleman has a point. Yeah. And my guess is that in the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, there's something about privacy, the right to privacy. This could be taken to a federal court and challenged on the basis of it.
Okay, I'll speak to that. The issues that we're describing from the BC Civil Liberties perspective would involve three obligations. One, a moral obligation on the government to protect privacy interests. Two, a legislative obligation under the Freedom of Information and Protection of Privacy Act. And three, a constitutional obligation, and that would be that you do have privacy rights in the Charter, although you will be hard-pressed to find the word privacy there. The Supreme Court of Canada has found privacy interests under Section 7, the right to security of the person, life, liberty, and security of the person, and Section 8, the right to be free of unreasonable search and seizure. So your privacy rights constitutionally are embedded in those two provisions of the Charter. And the Supreme Court of Canada has also recognized a very high privacy interest, to no one's surprise, in medical records in cases particularly such as O'Connor and Mills, R.V. O'Connor and R.V. Mills. I think it's very salient to say that we're not just dealing with legislation in its standard form, but we are dealing with constitutional rights. I think it's a very fair point. Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Randy Smith. I'm with the BC Carpenters Union, and I want to welcome you here today. I'm glad this kind of forum is going on, and George Heyman and the BCGU, we support what you're doing, and all British Columbians and Canadians should actually realize how important this is. Gum for dry mouth, sorry. And in our fight, we've been fighting our international in Washington, D.C., because they, international union cross borders. Well, our members have voted to leave, and we've been trying to leave for many years, and I'll get through it quickly. We lawsuits, we've been winning. 85%+ of our members have been supporting the cause to leave and get our autonomy, Canadian autonomy. We're on their computer database, or we were. And when this Patriot Act and the privacy legislation came in, we here in Vancouver decided, well, we've got to do something because our information is accessible through the Patriot Act. So we formed our own computer database, and we cut the Americans off in March. Well, then we get a trusteeship paper from the international set in May for them to take over us because we're off their system, among other reasons. So with this, going on, and I'm glad the BC Fed's in on this, BC Federation of Labor, but the BC Federation of Labor also has many international unions or American unions dominating them. What steps have they taken to protect their members, them being part of this coalition? 500,000 union members in this province, probably a good half of them belong to an international dominated union. All those people and their information's at risk. What are they doing, or have they taken this up with their members? Because we're a member of the Fed, I've heard nothing about this. These are individual issues like the BCGU and what we're going through now. And we're using the BCGU information to help our court case. But I would like to know, you know, what has this coalition or the BC Fed done to protect their members and their privacy? Thanks.
Yeah, we don't have a response to that. So let me just say that we're a group comprised of groups. Any organization that wants to join the campaign and bring a specific issue, like the one that you've just raised, please come. We are just a compilation of the issues that we, of course, recognize in terms of our individual organizations, but join a board. That's all I can say to that. We don't currently have that issue before us.
So the Fed has brought that up.
Okay. The gentleman in the black is the last question that will be taken. Okay? So next question.
I'm just curious. I feel that money is sort of an underlying issue going on here, and I'm curious who's getting paid and how much for the contracting of our freedom.
How much you got?
You know, like what government, what like which governments are getting, are contracting it out, who they are, blah blah blah, and how much they're getting paid. Just sort of curious. If anybody knows.
Sure.
I think the question is an ideological question. The ideological question is, who do the governments work for? And the government we have in British Columbia works for corporate interests and capital interests, and it's trying to privatize our assets. So the information that we're giving up by these deals that are being made by the provincial government are essentially going in, the money is going into the pockets of these international corporations, and it is our tax money that is going there.
Can I take the last question then?
First of all, I'd like to thank all of the everyone taking part in the forum. I have a question especially for Mr. Jaffer. My question especially is for Mr. Jaffer. Given your experience in both Canada and the U.S., I wonder if you could comment a little on the attitudes in both Canada and the U.S. Have you found any difference, if any, especially since 9/11, in terms of attitudes or concern for civil liberties? Have you found Canadians to be more concerned or less? I'm just curious about if you've noticed any difference in attitudes in Canada and the U.S. In either direction. Thanks.
Not to put you on the spot or anything.
Well, yeah, absolutely, yes. I think that from my limited experience, Canadians seem more concerned with the effect of the war on terror on their own rights and on civil rights generally. I think it's important to remember that people in the United States, the Patriot Act was enacted only weeks after September 11th. People were very scared. And there's still a sense in New York and Washington especially that you don't get anywhere else that I've been, that people are afraid. And I think that part of the reason that Americans reacted the way they did in enacting the Patriot Act and similar measures after September 11th is that they were more afraid than other countries were. As we get more and more distance from September 11th, I think that Americans are once again willing to think about issues that people in other countries have been thinking about now for 6 months or a year. And you see that in the polls, and I also see it in the way people react to things that I say in, you know, on panels like this in the United States. I see that people are more willing to listen, and that the audiences aren't as hostile as they were even 6 months ago. So, yeah, I mean, the short answer to your question is yes. I think the Canadians right now and for the last couple of years have been more concerned about civil liberties issues. But I don't think that, and I think I can say this as a Canadian myself, I don't think that we should be so smug about it up here, because it really is, for Americans, it's in some ways a much more difficult issue than it is for people outside the United States. I mean, whatever you think of the underlying reasons for what happened on September 11th, nonetheless, what happened on September 11th could happen again, and if it does happen again, it'll likely happen in the United States. So I think people in the United States see it as a much more immediate and concrete question than people outside the United States who have maybe, this is not exactly the right way to put it, but the relative luxury of not feeling as threatened on a day-to-day basis. Now, obviously, I work for the ACLU. I think that the United States has done the wrong thing since September 11th. I'm still optimistic. I'm hopeful that that over the next couple months, Americans will do the right thing.